Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Auckland Hospital Radio, your bedside entertainment system. Those who listen regularly to New Day Dawning will know that over the last few weeks I've been presenting thoughts on the theme Bread of Life, words which Jesus spoke in St. John's Gospel chapter 6 when he said, I am the bread of life. Our last programmes have covered themes such as Jesus feeding the 5,000, manna in the wilderness, bread of life, and the Lord's Supper. This week, the theme is bread for the world. Jesus had shocked his followers to the core by saying the following words, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh which I will give for the life of the world. Many followers deserted him because of these words. This bread of life which Jesus spoke about was meant to be shared with the world, to bring life to all, and was never meant to be hoarded as a personal possession. My opening song this morning is I Am the Bread to Feed the World, and it was written by a dear friend of mine called Margaret Scott from Whitley Bay. Here she is singing her song with United Folk.
I am the bread to feed the world. I am the fire that's never cold. I am the hope of a dying world. Turn to me, my children. I am the friend they never know. I am the bond to soothe their souls. I am the wealth they long to own. Turn to me, my children.
Another of Margaret's beautiful songs later on in the programme. But let's have today's reading now from John's Gospel, chapter 6, reading this time from verse 56. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Now, How to Win Friends and Influence People is a well-known book today. Many people consider it essential reading, especially if one has ambition in life. But Jesus wasn't trying to win favors or climb the ladder of success here. He was wanting to speak the truth and tell things as they were, that only by receiving him, by feeding on him, could a person know eternal life. He was quite clear about this. Jesus' teaching was indeed hard for many of his followers to stomach, pardon the pun. Many left him and walked away. So turning to his 12 disciples, Jesus gave them the option to leave too. But as Simon Peter pointed out, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Here is Northumbria Community singing "To Whom Shall We Go" from their album Celtic Daily Prayer.
To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. To whom shall we go? You have the believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.
The 12 disciples decided to follow Jesus and stick with him in his difficult teaching, for they'd seen something in him that was worth holding on to, but they also knew that they would need to look at the world in a new way through his eyes and one day continue his work as his disciples. But they obviously saw in him one with all the answers, and there was nowhere else they wanted to go. They saw him as the Holy One of God. Let's hear another of Margaret Scott's songs. This second song of hers was inspired by the most classic of all of Salvador Dali's paintings, known as The Christ of St. John of the Cross, which was painted by Dali as if he were looking down from above the cross of Christ on the world below. She wondered what he thought when he saw all its troubles. It was written in 1986 at a time of conflict in Beirut, and the troubles have greatly worsened over the world since then. Here is "What a View" by Margaret.
What a view. From there you can see for miles and miles and centuries. And you look with love and you look with loving tears. And when I think of all the pain we've caused each other through those years, I wonder how you still could see it through. Us and you call us back to you, and at your cross we find the grace to start again, to care, to try again, to love each other as you do. When you prayed, "Father, forgive them," were you thinking of us too, of the countless times that we would break your heart? You see us as your you know our need, and you will us to choose life and turn to you. For with the past forgiven and the future by your side, we can look again and see the world anew. For you made us for each other, and you free us all to love, and through you we can see the goodness that's still there.
If we want to imitate Jesus and be the bread of life for others like the disciples, we must be prepared to look at the world through the eyes of Jesus and see what it is he would want us to be concerned about too. There's a very large and stunning sculpture of the crucified Christ by sculptress Josefina de Vasconcelos on the west wall of St. Andrew's Church in Greystoke, Cumbria. It's an unusual version in that Jesus is raising himself up, his hands still nailed to the cross, and he's straining to see outside of the window to his right. It's magnificent. What does Jesus see when he looks out there? What is he searching for? What would he do if he were out there himself? This next song is one of mine, called Take, Eat, This Is My Body, and it invites us to look beyond our windows and our walls at his broken world. And Jesus asks us, do you care? Are you willing to pour yourself out?
Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Eat it and remember, I died.
Very much a hungry world out there, with so many different kinds of hungers, which Jesus would have wanted to satisfy had he been here in person. St. Teresa of Avila, a Carmelite nun, once wrote the following words which remind us that we are Christ's body here on earth. She wrote, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body." We are all part and parcel of all that's wrong in our world if we have no love for one another. Geoffrey Studdard Kennedy was an Anglican priest who was quite outspoken and a great believer in social life being brought right into the heart of all our devotions. He once said, "If the real presence of Christ in the sacrament obscures the omnipresence of God in the world, then the sacrament is idolatrous and our worship is actually sin, for all sin at its roots is the denial of the omnipresence of God." We must go wherever Jesus sends us and share the love of God and make our stand for what is right and good and true. Let's listen to Peter, Paul and Mary, who sing, "Children, go where I send thee."
Send thee two by two,
two for Paul and Silas,
one for the itty bitty baby. Born in Bethlehem.
Said he was born
in Bethlehem.
Children, go where I send thee.
How shall I send thee?
I'm going to send thee three by three, three for the Hebrew children,
two for Paul and Silas,
one for the itty bitty baby.
Right from the very beginning of the early church, we discover in Acts of the Apostles that Jesus' disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They shared possessions and gave to the needy. Because of their lifestyle then, many were attracted to the faith and believed. Are people today attracted by our lifestyles? If not, in what way are we failing? Surely we all need to join together as never before, with a common goal and a common purpose, to face head-on seemingly impossible tasks together and go forward trusting that God will move. I wonder if you've seen a cartoon called Happy Feet 2, where huge elephant seals come to the rescue of penguins trapped in a chasm far below them, trapped there with nothing to eat. The large creatures want to rescue them but don't believe it's possible to do any real good, and they almost give up. But the large faith of one penguin encourages them to believe the impossible. Sometimes you've got to back up to go forwards. This is the moment they're under pressure, but they go ahead beating the mountain ice, making the ground shake, and the snow cascades down, making it possible to save the stranded penguins, all because of cooperation and faith and going forward to bring life. We've got to keep moving. It's also interesting how two tiny krill make all the difference by joining in and adding their weight to the proceedings. Here's Happy Feet 2, Under Pressure.
Talking, Brian! You with me, boys?
Oh, yeah!
Truly inspired moment there in cartoon making. Ingenious, with a lesson for us all. Sometimes we do have to back up, take stock and assess in order to gain momentum to go forward. And instead of looking inwardly at all the hopelessness, look outwards at all the possibilities and opportunities. Our last song sings of building a new world, a new home of togetherness and peace, where all are welcome. Why can't we all catch hold of such a vision? Bye for now. Have a good week. Here is Marty Horn singing All Are Welcome.
Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Symbol of God's grace. There is one we claim for.
Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone, to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bears the image of God's face. Let us bring it in.